Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
No.
God, and I guarantee you, he will never leave you alone.
Yeah.
All you got to do is tell the devil, hell no, won't you leave me alone?
Devil, leave.
Hell no.
Come on, wait.
Tell the no, no, no.
Come on, come on.
Hell to the no. Tell the no, no, no.
Another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and that tune was by my friend Bishop Bullwinkle. Hell to the nah, nah, nah. Tonight we have a great show, and the show is going to be about slavery in the NFL. Now, anyone who would like to call in to make a question, to ask a question or make a comment, just hit the number one key, dial 347-945-6003. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my listeners in the 28 countries around the globe. I appreciate them tuning in. So, again, if you want to call in and have a comment or ask a question, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. If not, I will leave you in mute status. I first want to say hello to Mark. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Hi, Terry. Hi, Global
Hey,
Audience.
Darling. Yes. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing fine. It's Friday. Woo, woo.
I ain't blame you, baby. It's the weekend. We want to knock this thing out and get on down the road. But we got to say hello to our illustrious guest, Annette Haynes. How you doing, baby?
I'm wonderful. How is everyone else? And thank you so much for
having me. We are doing
great.
You know, I know everybody wants to talk about this topic, slavery in the NFL. So before I ask my question, I'm going to let my baby, Chris, ask his first. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, Annette, my question is, a lot of the people like Colin Kaepernick, you know, they spoke out against this topic, slavery in the NFL, and then they've taken a knee. Why do you think that so many conservatives are upset that they took a knee?
Just slow down, darling. Just take your time. Slow down. You'll get it out.
Oh. Sorry.
Yes, I feel very much. Anytime that we bring up the topic of reparations or some form of paying the African Americans for a lot of what we've been through, and again, our contributions, it becomes to be where whether people don't want to hear about it, they don't want to do anything about it, they want it to stay the same, and that is why we're having such backlash. But I would like to say, since you mentioned Colin Kaepernick, okay, let's think about this. Do we remember when Trump first got in office and they were saying, oh, he colluded with the Russians?
Uh-huh.
And collusion, they said, was a crime. Well, Colin Kaepernick proved that the owners actually colluded against him because he actually won a settlement. However, no one was ever charged with the crime. And he still is not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's a mess right there. He's still on the money. So on that note, I'm going to let Mark ask his question.
Hi, Annette. It's so happy to have a fellow San Diego on the show tonight. This is great.
Woo, woo.
So, you know, at first I heard what the topic was going to be tonight, I thought, how can that be slavery in the NFL? Because most NFL players are paid rather handsomely, and they have chosen to play the sports professionally. what are some of the ways that the league is like a slave auction of old, like a slave transaction of old?
Well, if you even the terms that are being used in the NFL, I mean owners, you know, they used to have the slave owners. And again, they actually, the athletes are the commodities, commodities. So, again, it is a higher pay because they're receiving more money. But it's the players out there that are getting their bodies banged up. And you have the people who, again, they're just sitting there watching the entertainment, and they're being paid more money than the athletes out on the field. And they even use the word, they on the trading block. Well, you know, that's what they said for the slaves. They on the trading block. So, I mean, a lot of the terminology, a lot of the infrastructure, it is on a slave mentality. So when we're having, and this is what Colin was talking about, and I'm living here in Las Vegas, you should see how the entire valley has grown economically, except for the black community. If you go into the black community and they call it historic West Las Vegas, when you go over there, people would tell you who were there. They were the ones who really built Las Vegas. And I happened to see a documentary on Richard Pryor last week.
Oh, and I saw that. Where,
yes. Did you see when he came to Vegas and you saw the part when they were just showing and it was, you know, everybody was white and they say that they wouldn't let black people, you know, go in the pools or go be dealers. And it's still, it's very racist now here in Las Vegas. It's unbelievable how racist it still is here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the black community is being left out. And I was actually here when the Raiders were coming. Okay. They actually had a special session, legislation session, to give Mark Davis so many millions of dollars. Now, first of all, this is already a millionaire, and the Raiders is a private franchise, but they were taking taxpayer money to give to this millionaire, and the money that has been drunk out of the black community, and they even have a portion of the contract where, you know, it was public comment. So we came in, we said the things that we would want to see. And I just want you to know, none of those things have, they have been fulfilled. And this is very disheartening because of the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's politics or if it's the Raiders or any other businesses. You know, they tell you one thing to get the money or to get your vote, and then as soon as they're there, we're the ones. I mean, it seems like the African American community is the only community that is still being left out. So when I say that there is the slavery, and this is what I'm saying, they just have higher price tags, but of course, look at the money that they are bringing in. I also want to relate it to, did you see, and I'm very proud of the governor of California that says, you know what, we need to start giving these athletes who are bringing all these universities, is bringing in all this money, and yet they can't even have someone to buy them a steak dinner. You have a lot of these student athletes. I was one, my daughter, you know, we come from a family of athletes, and yet you bring in all this money. But yet you can't have, no one can compensate you for the money that you're bringing in. So they're getting ready to change that, and it should have been changed a long time ago.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And so now they're getting ready.
Well, on that note, we need to take a small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
controversial, real, unparalleled. Authoress Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Two days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. One day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, cause every day I had to work the field, cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my Mama pray, Lord, to make another day. So years have passed and all the kids were grown. They just took Mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Lord, I can still hear Papa's voice
Welcome back to Unmask with Author Terry E. Lyle. And I want to begin by saying thank you to all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners in the 28 countries that's listening in tonight. And I want to tell anyone, if they would like to make a comment or ask a question, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key. And a personal shout-out to one of my friends, Vincent Hutchison, a friend I met through Mark Anthony Real. How you doing this evening? This guy, he always called with words of encouragement, and I so appreciate that. So we're getting right back with our special guest. Now, Annette, could you let everyone know about your connection to the university out there, that all the athletes have walked through those doors, and let them know how long your family has been doing this thing?
Well, I would like for everyone to visit the website. It is the Davis Brothers Lumber Company of Ansley, Louisiana. These are my forefathers who are the original founders of Grambling State University. Lamar Hunt actually started the AFC because the NFC did not want certain cities to participate. So what he did was he went down to Grambling with the legendary coach Eddie Robinson, and I want you to know that he had over 200 players in the NFL. And in 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, he was number two for having the most players in the NFL. So as the AFC became to be very dominant. So they said, okay, I'll tell you what, why don't we come together and we'll be the NFL. And they have actually left out a lot of the history and, again, the contributions and the hard work. And it has been geared more and more and more away from, you know, having African-Americans involved. As we all know, if you go to a NFL game, okay, you got to pay $20 for parking. You got to pay $100 per ticket. You got to pay, you know, $40 for a beer. You got to pay. It's so expensive now until it has almost priced out of, you know, the lower income people. So that's not an experience that you can have like we used to back in the day. And when you're not having opportunity or equal opportunity, then that is why this is very discouraging. And when this is something that you have to build and you're not being recognized. I would like to also say with legendary coach Eddie Robinson, he was the winningest coach in history after the coach was disqualified. However, he really wanted to play, and that was his last dream, to play in the Rose Bowl. And they told him no. So, again, when you're having, you've done so much, and I invite all your listeners, please, whatever you do, Google Eddie Robinson. And you will see where he would fix sandwiches for the players because they couldn't stop at any of the restaurants because the white, this was in the South, and they did not want blacks to come into their restaurants. I mean, he was so driven, he even would mold the football field with a push mower. You know, they were working with so little, but yet they had so much. And just seeing, you know, how much they have given, sacrificed, and contributed, it is, again, like I said, it is unfair. I don't know.
You know, it's a travesty, you know, that Annette, that even back then, you know, And I can see the correlation between slavery and the NFL and slavery, period, because it's a mentality that, you know, black people or people of color don't deserve to eat in no place nice, don't deserve to be in this neighborhood, don't deserve to look this kind of way, don't deserve to have money. It's a mentality that sucks. And, you know, we got our president sitting up there in the White House that was built by black hands, still perpetrating that racist behavior against women, you know, thinking that all women want to be touched and we don't have to say no because a man want to put their hands on us. So, you know, some you can tie slavery with a whole lot of things, quiet as kept, but, you know, I'm about sick of it, you know, because, you know, I might have been born African-American, but, you know, when I look at everybody, I look at the person's heart. I look and see what, how this person is relating to me. I don't see no color. You know, they could be blue, green, polka dot. I don't care. I love that person because the way they interact with me. And I wish somebody find a way to stop this racism because I'm sick and tired of people thinking that nobody is good enough except the lucky few that got a lot of damn cash. Now, I'm about fed up with this, man. It's going to have me get to stumbling before. And if I start stumbling, next thing coming out of my mouth, going to be me cussing because, you know, I don't have a long fuse. So I'm just saying. I'm just fucking tired of this sugar, honey, iced tea. And I'm going to throw it back to Chris.
Okay, then. Oh, woo, woo, woo. I know.
Reach.
All right, Jeanette. My question is, I don't know if we touch base on this, but I think it's important to ask, what can the NFL do better with all this slavery and racism?
Well, again, this is the problem because they actually say, well, what can we do? Okay, just do what you do over in the white neighborhood. Just duplicate it in the black neighborhood. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You should see here, you know, the Raiders, they got their home office. It's going to be out in Henderson. But I'm saying, why would you put it in Henderson? Why don't you put it over into the black community? That's going to bring revenue, and it's going to bring businesses. It'll bring up that blighted community. But, you know, they constantly act as though we don't know what to do. Just do the same thing you do over there. Just duplicate it. And that's what I'm saying. When you're singing, you know, a multi-billion-dollar stadium and all of the amenities and we're going to be having the monorail run around, and, you know, we're never included in the process. Never included. We don't. Even when they say, okay, we want your ideas, and we give them to them, they never even use them or never come back and consult, or we don't have people who look up like us, and if it is, it's only a token, you know, and this is unacceptable. I'm quite sure you know what I'm talking about because, you know, it doesn't matter what city you're in, it is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're having like a NFL team, you know, so many other jobs that come with that. I mean, you know, sound people, lighting people, TV broadcasters, and photographers.
True.
Again, those are jobs that can be given to blacks, or they can be given to, you know, I'm not saying given, I'm saying, you know, give us equal opportunity for us to have these positions as well. And so, again, this is the frustration of the especially the African-American community, because, again, you know, the Asian community, the Latino community, they have their own community within the community. It really almost doesn't matter who's in office, because if you're able to own your own business and hire your own people and have your own family and have your own money, well, who really cares who's in office? So that is, like I said, when we're in the year 2020, I just want to know, how long do we supposed to continue to go on? And if you say anything, I actually have a case in the federal court for domestic terrorism for the way that I've been attacked, my family been attacked, because I've just been outspoken, or if, you know, I'm just defending people, the voiceless, and the masses. Yeah. And you know what they do. Yeah, that's what they do. They want to attack you.
Yeah, so Mark, ask your question, baby.
This poet and scholar named Elizabeth Alexander wrote that black bodies that are in pain for public consumption have been an American national spectacle for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, enslaved blacks were like cattle designed for specific purpose of providing labor and or money for whites who purchased them. It was big business, and the NFL comes to money. So why would they justify draft by calling it an investment because the contract players could potentially sign?
Excuse me, say that again.
They call the draft an investment because of the contracts players could potentially sign. How would you equate that with slavery?
Well, that's one of the things that I really want is a boycott on the NFL draft. And, of course, you know it's going to be here in Vegas, and you should see just how, how giddy the white community, you know, we're all excited. This money's coming into Vegas. We're going to have all of that, the NFL draft. Well, the black community know that, you know, very little will actually get over to us. They expecting a multi-billion-dollar week. And if, again, all of everybody needs to just stick together and just say, you know what, this is just not right. We want just what you want. You know, we want what you want. You know, our children are locked up in jail. And with all of that money that's coming in the same report, they said, okay, the homeless will be fined starting tomorrow, February 1st, $1,000, and you're going to go to jail if you're sleeping on the street, on the sidewalk. Now, you know, first of all,
they're going to be out there on purpose, because at least they know they will have a way to eat, they will be warm, and they won't be homeless. And the city is going to mess up because if they're homeless, they don't have a job, so they can't pay a fine. So there's going to be more crowded other jails, more people getting violated in there, because they're taking up their space. It's going to be hell.
And how do you even justify you getting, they're constantly giving us statistics and giving us revenues of, you know, here in Vegas. I mean, you know, whether this convention, they just had this huge, you know, that tech convention that they have every year. They brought in so many billions, and then they have the, they're getting ready to have a NASCAR. They're going to bring in so much, and then they have the, it's always so much money. That
it's overcrowded
now.
Let me say this. You got a caller on the line that is willing to make a comment or ask a question on this live show. So before I open up the mic to the last caller's numbers, is 4644. Don't be scared. We ain't going to bite. Hello, Carla. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
You know, they predict the way the trends are, that the majority of your NFL and NBA players is going to be of Nigerian heritage.
Ah.
Really?
And they're not going to be sensitive to some of these things I hear black Americans speaking of. I don't see anything wrong with the draft. And sports is sports, just like sports have always been. You know, in the Olympics they had in Atlanta, the mayor of Atlanta, who was African American. Remember he gave the homeless a one-way ticket?
Maynard Jackson.
No, it wasn't Maynard. It was after Maynard Jackson. This is like 2004 or something. He gave the homeless a one-way ticket. Huh?
I was saying Marion Barry, but he was from D.C., right?
No, it was in Atlanta. That's when the Olympics. That's when the Olympics was in Atlanta that year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He gave the homeless a one-way ticket out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all remember or not, but I feel sorry. I feel concerned about the people, but you know, there's organizations, and churches, and so on that need to do what they were given the status of their tax exemption to do, is provide those people with food and shelter.
Well, you know, I guess the unique thing about Las Vegas, the unique thing is I don't know no city that actually have money that flow through this city. I can't really ever stress that enough. And when you're having the kind of money that flows through the city, then you should be a better steward of how it is more evenly distributed. Because against the wishes, and we've had protests down there at City Hall. And I'm going to tell you, do you know, if you go on the strip, some of the most homeless people are professional athletes that are down there.
Well, what
the
are you protesting about? What are you protesting about?
Well, we were protesting about the homeless, and they wanted to charge them $1,000. So we're like, why would you do that?
And the slavery, right?
Excuse me?
I said, we're talking about the slavery, too, right, of the NFL?
NFL.
Well, yes, and that's what happens. See, whenever you're having where it is not a fair distribution of the wealth, you know, you have like the 1%, and then here go the 99% over here. So whenever you're not having a fair distribution of the wealth, this is what happens. But when you're having, and that, yes.
There's nothing that says you're supposed to distribute other people's wealth. I mean, you have you have access to education and other things. You know, Nevada does not have a business tax. Many companies have Nevada corporation because it's one of the few states that don't tax its corporation. It don't have a business tax, which I think is a good thing.
Well, that's your opinion, and I disagree.
Well, I had a Nevada corporation,
okay.
And I was licensed to do business in Nevada. I had an address, a 702 phone number, still got the phone number. But
okay.
No, that's a good thing.
Well,
but
I
anyway,
want to share with you, when I talked about the Raiders, that was our money. That was the African American money that went to Mark Davis to bring the Raiders here. So we're talking about our money.
It was the African American money, or was it the state of Nevada's money?
Well, okay, it is taxpayers' money. And if I'm one of the taxpayers and I'm here in Las Vegas and you're putting, you know, different businesses or the operations.
Can I interject real quick now? I'm thinking this is what the caller is saying, is that the whole state of Nevada cannot be black. So to say it's just black money would be an error, because it's all mixed of races in Las Vegas, because, you know, they come there for different reasons, weather, gambling, or whatever. But that's what I'm thinking that you're saying, caller. If I'm wrong, please correct me.
Absolutely. Nevada is not no one specific ethnic group.
No, that's not what I'm saying either. But
you said it was black
is
money.
I'm saying the part that is. And very little
right.
of it is going back to the black community.
But if you were to say if you were to say it was black, how many blacks agree with what you're saying?
Well, the ones who live here would. And I would also like for you to know that, again, I was at the community input, and one of the things was they have what they call community betterment, and you can go on the website, which is lvstadiumauthority.com. They have a the whole entire Raider thing, and you can be able to go and see the meetings, and that was a part of them getting the contract, was that they had to give African Americans 25%, and it was
That's other business things
that were in there.
And that was for minority businesses.
And I'm saying that
actually it's not actually it was for minority businesses. It wasn't just not for African Americans or blacks. It was for women. It was for those who was considered in that particular class, by the way, which would disappear when whites become a numerical minority in the country themselves.
They had a specific clause in there that was geared exactly to nothing but African Americans. And
yeah,
we actually addressed that issue of minority because we wanted them to understand we weren't using that term minority, because that included everybody who wasn't a white male. So there is a clause
they got white females. They in it. You can't have
right.
something that you specifically say is just for blacks, because you have different ethnic groups that's categorized in that word minority.
Well, again, that's why I'm saying that's why we separated that, so it would be very clear.
Well, it'd be
saying,
against the law. Ma'am, it would be against the law if you courts have said that's against you can't do that. You got women who fall, white women that fall on it. You got Hispanics. You got you even got Russians that fall under that category. So you just can't say this is for blacks. They no longer use that like that. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I just wanted to contribute it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, Paul,
thank you so much.
We appreciate you calling in and giving your feedback. Everybody is welcome. The caller has dropped off the line. And it's time now for Mark to ask his question. Anyone who want to call in, feel free. Just dial 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key. And we welcome all calls and all comments. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Annette, you know, what about the idea that every black athlete, you say you come from a family of black athletes, they think they're going to the pros, you know, that have the idea that because they can run, throw, they're guaranteed an opportunity in the industry. Now, what happens when they don't meet that goal, when they're not chosen because of Does that lead to drug addiction, to other social problems for people that
I'm getting feedback. I couldn't hear your question.
Yeah, the question has to do with...
got some feedback. Maybe someone is on speaker.
Well, I'm just on the regular speaker. I'm not even on the phone, so I don't know where that's coming from.
Okay, and what were you saying, Mark?
Well, you know, the idea that every black athlete thinks he's going to the pros because he can run, jump, or throw, and that they're all guaranteed an opportunity in the sports industry. What happens to those who don't make it? Do they turn to drug addiction? Do they, you know, it becomes a social problem where they can't, when you can't get the golden ring of a, you know, a big deal with the pros.
Well, that is why I have been saying it's not just the player that's out on the field. It is so many other jobs that are associated with the industry. And those jobs are not being evenly distributed or equal opportunity for African Americans. And I think that, you know, if you are, again, we're dealing with everything from the pipeline. When you're taking children and you start targeting them from third grade and, you know, and making them feel like, you know, you can't be a photographer, you're not a sportscaster. You may want to be a journalist. And that all is a part of the industry, but again, it's not being reflected. Do you understand what I'm saying about that? Because it's not just about being on the field. You know, Lamar Hunt, who actually started the AFC, you're reading his bio that, you know, he rode the bench all his life. He never was a good player, but he loved sports. And so he ended up being, you know, the person who was the driving force behind the AFC. And then, you know, a lot of other, of course, he had money to do this. But, again, that's the point I'm making. You may not be a athlete that can make it in the pros. But if you have a job that is supportive of that particular arena, then that is what I'm talking about. It needs to be more for we're included in the other jobs, because this is the problem. You know, this is why black children think that they can, this is what they have to do in order to make it. I don't want them to feel like this is what you have to do to make it. It's other jobs that pay very well. You can be able to make a living, take care of your family, and yet, you know, be a part of the industry.
Okay, gotcha.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So, Chris, would you ask the question real quick? Because we kind of running out of time, darling.
All right. Okay. Well, Annette, I get what you're saying. You're saying that there's lots of black people who can't, you know, who can't catch a break in the industry. But I just want to say that there's many who have, and anything's possible. I mean, you know, we had a black president, so I have faith that one day we can, you know, there will be enough jobs for everybody.
Yes, and it is right now. I think that what is happening is because it's so limited opportunity, because again, if an applicant come in with equal credentials, one is black, one is white, and the person who's doing the hiring more than likely may be white, they more than likely going to give the position to the white person. So, you know, those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. And then, we want to be able to own. We want to be owners. We want to be in the game. We want to be at the table. I don't want to have crumbs. I don't want to have what's left over. I want to be at the table. I want to make decisions. I want to be that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do.
Treated with dignity and respect. Yeah. And we're not given that. And it's 2020. At what point do we get, I understand 2019 was the 400 years. And after that, you know, okay, it's 2020 now. So when do we as a country turn this page and we need to really stop this, you know, white supremacy kind of, you know, I'm up here, you down there, and we have to keep you down there in order for us to be up here. It should not be like that.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So
everybody's equal.
We need a small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike.
Hello?
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there this week. Yeah. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who was that, Ma? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day. No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my girlfriend.
What is, why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners for tuning in each and every week. We're broadcasting live in 28 countries and looking for 29. But I would like to first thank our special guest, Annette Haynes, for being here tonight. And, you know, I'm going to give you this opportunity to tell everyone how they can reach you and any last words you might want to say, darling.
Yes. First of all, I would like, again, everyone to please Google my forefathers, who are the Davis Brothers Lumber Company of Ansley, Ansley, Louisiana. And you can reach me on my Facebook, Annette Haynes. And I also would like very much to thank you, Terry, for this wonderful opportunity.
Darling, you're so welcome. And you know, once you've been on the show, you can always come back because now it's home.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
And you can always come back with a different topic or the same topic that you want to expound on, you know, but this is home, baby.
Oh, thank you. I feel just like I'm home. I feel
yes,
like I'm home.
Yes, girl, hanging out with your buddy.
Yes. Again, it has been a great experience. I you know, it's such a release because we have very little opportunity to even have our voices heard. And when we're having
exactly.
that opportunity, you know, just to have a release, that is very
yeah.
important. So again, I really thank you so much for this opportunity. And again, I really want everyone, I want to impress this upon you. Please Google the Davis Brothers Lumber Company of Ansley, Louisiana. And you must read every article, and you must view every gallery. It's very fascinating.
I will.
That's
I will.
Wonderful. So our guest has dropped off the line now. So Chris and Mark, by this being a weekend, I want y'all to be safe out there. You know,
me
I don't
too.
Know what the weather is like. Dress accordingly. And we'll see you next week at the same time on
hey.
That channel.
See you there.
All right, darling. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too, darling.
Bye-bye, John boy.